Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those marking your first adventure into the realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis. And tonight we have an artist. So for those of you who are used to hearing authors and you know folks that are in the writing community, tonight we're featuring someone just a little bit outside that with her artistry, and we'll get into that in a little bit. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at www.jvhilliard.com, or you can follow me at jvhilliardbooks on X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or just look for me as JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. And for those of you who are not familiar with our show, we are sponsored by Altered Reality Magazine. So check them out at alteredrealitymag.com. They're an online magazine that features a variety of speculative fiction and speculative poetry. So if you're a fan of all the sci-fi fantasy books you would find at your local Barnes and Noble, and you enjoy dystopian and you enjoy horror and the gothic and scary things like monsters, that's the place to go. And you'll find authors who have found their first portal of publication there, as well as award-winning authors that write to create this community. And on an average, we get about 190,000 people who come to the website on an annual basis. So enjoy. Check it out, alteredrealitymag.com. And today we're going to be chronicling the adventures of artist Liz Brando. Liz, well met and welcome to the realm.
Hello.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the kind of stuff you do.
Well, I'm mostly a self-taught artist who just kind of grew up loving it, loving art in general. And I started up drawing and then eventually went into painting models, and I've been painting models for about 3 years now, and I honestly truly love it, to be honest.
Well, we met at Pittsburgh Comic Con, and yes, I had a chance to see some of your art face to face. But before I get into that and let you talk a little bit about what you do and how you do it, I noticed that your kind of handle is J-Bird Dragon. Where did you come up with that, and what a fun sort of pseudonym that you used for yourself there. How did that become an inspiration for you?
Well, the name Jaybird Dragon came when I needed to make a username many, many years ago for something. And I was like, okay, I like dragons and I like jaybirds, you know, the bluebird, the blue jays. And I was like, yo, let's combine them together because that way I have something that's unique and that most other people don't have. Which at the time was true, because I've been able to use that name in so many different websites and such where no one used that name up until like the last 5 years or so.
So it has a unique connection to you, and it also has a utility to it. You can use it for social media, websites, and all that other kind of stuff too. That's cool. So you described yourself a few minutes ago as a self-taught artist. Can you describe your artistic style to those that are listening? Because this is, you know, we don't have the benefit of having a video for our interview, and how that's kind of developed and changed over the course of your career.
How my artistic style has gone? Well, I originally just drew like pencil and paper for so many years because that was the only materials I had available to me for so many years, you know, other than crayons and maybe markers every now and then, but pencil and paper was my favorite one, and I drew a lot of horses back then. Lots of horses. Was my favorite animal. And from there, I learned more once I got into school for the first time when I was 10, 11 years old, because I was homeschooled. So it's like I just drew horses out of books for years. And from the inspiration for the horses was actually from the movie Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. When I watched the How to Draw Spirit, that was really neat. And from there, you know, I was like, I kept drawing. And in high school, I learned a lot about composition and like shadows and highlights and shading in general. And I eventually progressed that into actual painting, you know, because they require you to do like actual painting and, you know, high school, if you want to get a great good grade for it, like oil paintings, acrylics. And I really liked it. But at the time, I was just, you know, using it as a way to get through school, because I really hated school, to be honest. I was not one of those, like, very popular or anything like that type person. I wanted to keep to myself, and art class was the best place for me to just do what I like without being judged.
Well, you know, you seem to be a you know, D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, and a Warhammer nerd like me, you know, and, you know, do you, you know, are those your favorite characters to draw or to sculpt or to paint? And, you know, if so, what are some of your favorite things to do? You've already mentioned horses, but, you know, it, you know, taking inspiration from, like, tabletop role-playing games such as D&D and or, you know, Warhammer, which is a, you know, it's a game itself. You know, is that where you find a lot of your inspiration? Is that what brought you to the Comic Cons of the world to, you know, find commissions, you know, sell your wares, or how did that kind of connect?
Well, to be very honest about the D&D and Warhammer, is that was more of a recent love. The D&D was actually because of my husband's dad. He wanted to play D&D, and I've heard about it, but my perspective of it at the time was my mom's during the age where it was considered satanic. So I didn't have a very broad, very broad understanding of it, but then he introduced it to me as this, like, this role-playing thing, and I had fun with it, and then as soon as the whole creative part came into introduction to me, I just fell in love with it because everything felt unique, interesting, and I can make whatever the heck I want and no one would judge me because then I'd be like, this is a thing I made and it has a reason to exist.
Well, did you ever get a chance to play with your father-in-law? I mean, do you guys still play today or, you know, how has your experience been with the game? And has it inspired additional work?
I have made homebrew worlds myself, but I haven't really touched upon it too often because, like, a lot of the time scheduling conflicts, and I have so many ideas, and by the time I try to write it down, I forget it, so I have that curse. And with my father-in-law, in that case, he plays with his own set of friends, and he is usually not available to play with the rest of us. And he doesn't consider him a very great DM, even though I felt he was just fine. But at the time, there was a bit of a rough relationship because it was like, it was me and him for the first time, like, meeting. And there was a lot of, like, their side problems that were kind of integrating to our relationship at the time. So it was like, it was a little hit or miss. But we're actually pretty good now, though.
Good.
So we're kind of working back that relationship a little bit here and there.
Well, you know, I noticed too, like, when we first met, you use a lot of 3D printing, and from what I read about you, it sounds like you also are self-taught there. A lot of that stuff comes from that. How did you go about teaching yourself something to someone like me, a layperson that might look at that and say, that seems like a difficult thing to teach yourself? How did you end up doing that? And how did that, like, how's that relationship work with someone who's been two-dimensional for so long?
Well, the 3D printing, I started off with, like, watching other people on YouTube, like 3D printing and such. And then I got real interested in it when I quickly found the limitations of buying models from the store. You know, it's like, it's limited to a specific genre, and to buy online is super expensive. And I was really lucky to find this person's husband who does 3D printing, but he does it mostly filament. But he was very excited and passionate about it. I was talking to him about it, and I did research on what the best starting printers were. And I watched a bunch of videos on, like, things to watch out for, things to keep in mind of, and the consequences of not, you know, following certain rules within printing, because otherwise you hurt yourself. So, and what financial consequences could come of it, too. So it's like, I just kind of researched on and off for, like, months before deciding on a printer. And then once I got onto that printer, I pretty much followed everything in my mind that I collected up until that point. And it's been pretty good from there. It's been, you know, I've had some bads and some goods with, and a lot of goods with it, actually. I've been having more successful prints than most people do, apparently, according to the guy who has been 3D printing for, like, 20 some odd years.
Well, that's good. That's good. So, like, let's talk about that creative process then. I mean, you know, everybody has their own style, and everybody does things differently. For me, I have a tendency to listen to music, and it gets me in the mood for writing, or, you know, I'll see a movie or watch a movie that I like that gets me involved for a certain scene. Like, for me, when I write battle scenes, I have a tendency to watch Conan the Barbarian or Excalibur or Lord of the Rings, because it gets you in the mood for that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You know, and it's different for, like, romance scenes or, you know, scenes that are more related to what I would describe as, you know, sophisticated stuff. I mean, every song or every movie, you know, inspires me differently. Do you have something that's like that? Do you listen to music? Do you zone out? Like, how do you get inspired to create your art?
It's a mixture of many things. When I'm in the actual process of, you know, making, like, painting or creating stuff, I actually like to listen to soundtracks of mostly fantasy-related video games, mostly video games. And sometimes if I really want, like, a high-energy type motivation, I'll actually listen to the soundtrack from Pacific Rim. I really love that movie. That's cool. I really love that movie.
And also a good video game, right?
I don't think I've played the video. I don't know about the video game. I haven't read into it much, but I also listen to Witcher, and I've been listening to the Baldur's Gate 3 soundtrack over and over again. It has a large variety, and it keeps me entertained the entire time, so that's great.
That's cool. So is there a time of day that you do your creating, or is this a full-time gig for you, or is this still a side hustle, or have you made it your business? Like, how has the business of your creativity gone for you? And is it something you find to be fruitful or something you can even move on?
I find the business part of what I do is, like, I do it to be able to engage with other people. Cause, like, I am a very antisocial person and I can't hold on to everything I make because it takes up way too much space. And I want somebody to enjoy it other than myself. So I go out and be social. I have my husband to help me with that because he's a social person. Yes. If I could have a service dog, I would.
A lot of our audience are folks that are creatives, and we've had sculptors on here. We've had videographers and we've had cinematographers on, obviously a lot of authors in my space, but game makers here, even had one guy that was the CEO of a video game company. Everybody answers this question a little differently. So, but I'm interested in hearing from your perspective, the answer to this: why do you create? And I think creators answer that differently every time. And I want to see what you say. So why do you create?
I create a lot mostly as an escape in a way. Cause I have grown up in a very cruel kind of childhood. So it's like, I find creativity is my only outlet to be myself more. And I like to share that with other people. And so it gives me a reason to do it. And I like to make things that people recognize because it makes it easier to connect with the other person for me. So it's like I create in a way to just be able to connect in my own way and to, you know, forget the terrible past I was in.
I get that. So it's a mental health thing. And then also, like you described, it's a way to connect with other people. So that's well done. So last question before our lightning round, as we get to the end of our show here, what would you look, like I said before, we have a lot of artists of all shapes and sizes that listen to the show. So what piece of advice would you leave them, especially if they're interested in pivoting to a new medium like you did?
Just kind of experiment with it, to be honest, because you might actually end up enjoying it more than you think. Like, you might think, oh, painting sucks. I only do drawing. But I'm like, just dabble in a small, stupid little thing for fun. You might end up liking it. If you don't like it, then go to something else. You know, it's not hard pressed for a certain path or anything. It's not like if you start drawing, you have to do it for the rest of your life. Or with painting or sculpting. Just do whatever makes fun, and sometimes combine them if you can or want to. So be free with it.
That's a perfect piece of advice. So are you ready to play our lightning round?
Sure. I may not be great at it because my brain is not always working with me.
Well, look, there's no scores here. There's no right or wrong. It's just, I'm going to ask some fun questions to see where this goes. So, first one, I'll start you off with a softball, a nice easy one. Uh-huh. What is your favorite D&D class to play and why?
I tend to go with Ranger because I have, like, both melee and ranged attacks as an option. But in Baldur's Gate 3, however, I've been playing Sorceress and I've been really enjoying that a lot because spells, magic.
Yeah, yes. Spells. Yeah, lots of fun. That's good. Okay. Next one is, you get a chance to invite any artist to a lunch, living or dead. What artist would you invite to join you and why?
To be honest, I thought of two different people on this one. I thought of...
I'll let you slide. All of a sudden, you got two invitations. Who are your two?
Well, one of them is from Australia. His name is Jazza. I really like his work. He's very creative, very colorful, and just does whatever and tries everything. And then the other person I would like to talk to is a person from... their name on YouTube is Leona's Workshop. And they make large-scale models, and she puts a lot of love and dedication into what she does, and I would love to be able to, like, explore everything that she does and just learn from it, basically, because, my God, her stuff is good.
Cool. All right. So what's the best money and what is the worst money as an artist that you've ever spent? Give some people advice out there. Tell them what to do and tell them what not to do.
The best and worst money.
We've all done this. We've all fallen victim to it, so I'm asking.
You know, that might be a better question for my husband, because to me, everything is a good purchase if I use it in the end.
That doesn't count.
Husband here, if I can give an answer.
No, you're banned from the show. No, I'm just kidding. You may. I'll give permission for you to butt into this conversation and answer on her behalf. We want truth. We want hard truth on this show. We demand it on the realm.
The best investment we've made has been the 3D printers. While they were a huge investment, they have been
amazing.
They have been an amazing help with her creative process.
And what was the worst one?
The worst one has been the supply of wood.
Whilst
it's nice and it has made some interesting pieces, she's not consistent with it.
3D print wood? That's ridiculous. How that happens?
She's doing 2D art on it.
My God. All right, I get it now. I was stuck on the 3D printing thing. You're talking about something else. Last question for you, and no cheating with the husband this time. Your favorite museum is on fire.
Uh-oh.
And you have to run in to help, but you could only save one piece of art in that museum. What piece of art would that be, and why would you save it?
Does a dinosaur museum count? Because I would totally take one of the skeletons with me.
There you go. You're taking dinosaur bones. There's nothing wrong with that. I expected something, like I was Monet, I'm thinking Van Gogh, I'm thinking something, and all of a sudden we got dinosaur bones. But hey, I set myself up for that answer. It's all good. So, well, look, before we let you off the realm here, tell everybody where they can find your work online and how they can follow you on your social media accounts.
Where they can follow or just kind of see what I'm doing, I'm most often on Instagram/Facebook. You know, that's where I post my stuff, at Jaybird Dragon Heart, because for some reason Instagram wouldn't let me use Jaybird Dragon. So it's Jaybird Dragon Heart on both sides. And I do have a website that's called jaybirddragon.square.site, that where you can see my stuff that's for sale. It also has links to my Instagram and all the other stuff too. So yeah, that's where you can kind of see where I am, for the most part. I'm also a vendor of those too.
Oh, that's cool. Well, thank you very much for coming onto the realm. Let's have you back. I'm certain I'm going to see you at another Comic-Con here coming up shortly. But in the interim, if you're doing anything and you have a work in progress or anything like that and you want to reconnect, let me know. I'm happy to have you back on the realm. This has been a lot of fun. And again, we want to thank our longtime sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine, alteredrealitymag.com. Go check it out if you like speculative fiction or speculative poetry. You'll find a great community on there of folks that are doing it just for the love of the game. So go check them out at alteredrealitymag.com. And to our followers this evening, thanks again for lending us your ear. And until next time, I'm JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.